CNCFlare.com presents Two Cents Worth, a podcast on B2B sales and entrepreneurship. The one podcast that's not afraid to discuss real sales strategies with real entrepreneurs that produce real results.
Every day I'm hustling.
Here's your host, James Harper.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome back to the Two Cents Worth podcast. I'm your host, James Harper. Today's podcast is we're going back to the roots of one of the oldest battles there is when it comes to business. Should you be investing in sales or should you be investing in marketing? Or should you be investing in both? I got the opportunity to sit down with marketing expert Tim Fitzpatrick, who has a great marketing agency out here in Denver, Colorado. And we talk about the oldest battle that's gone on. Should you invest in marketing, invest in sales, or should you actually diversify your opportunity and invest in both? We talk about the importance of having a common message throughout your marketing that obviously blends into your sales cycle and how that helps your prospect really understand from start to finish what you're all about, exactly what you're selling. We talk a lot about the know, like, trust strategy, which many of you are familiar with, as we've spoken about on the show. And we just talk about the importance of storytelling. I think this is an underrated thing that we don't give enough credit to, especially in the sales world, is how critical is telling an important story for our prospects. Obviously, marketing does that really well. Are we doing that really well when it comes to our sales strategy? So without any further ado, please welcome Tim Fitzpatrick. All right. And on today's show, we have a super exciting guest. We have Tim Fitzpatrick, who's the founder of Rialto Marketing. Cool little fact that Tim and I both share. He might be the first local. I believe, Tim, you are the first local person from Colorado that lives in Colorado right now that I've had on the show that's in the sales and marketing realm. So, Tim, welcome. How's it going?
James, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here. So,
awesome. Well, hey, obviously, I know we're going to dive into a lot of marketing tactics, some sales tactics. Before the show, you brought up a good point when it comes to storytelling and how that can translate into sales, which I really like. Before we go down that road, what's kind of the story of Tim Fitzpatrick? Obviously, you have your own marketing agency. You're an entrepreneur yourself. Kind of give us your story.
Absolutely. So I was not one of those entrepreneurial kids, you know, selling baseball cards or, you know, hawking stuff at a garage sale. I fell into my entrepreneurial journey when I graduated from college, and I ended up getting involved with a wholesale distribution company shortly after I graduated. And I was the first full-time employee in that company. And I ended up becoming a partner. I managed it on a day-to-day basis. And we grew at about 60% a year for 9 years before selling that business. So that was honestly an amazing entry into my entrepreneurial journey. I learned more doing that in 6 months than I did in 4 years of college. It was just on the job, real world experience. Loved it. After we sold, I worked for that company for another 3 years. I actually ended up moving with the company in 2008 to Denver. So I was born and raised in Northern California in the Bay Area, moved to the Denver area in 2008. 2009, I actually got laid off. So I got laid off by the company that bought us, which is not as uncommon as you might think, James. Sure. So after that, I decided to shift gears. You know, I had been interested in real estate. So I got involved in residential real estate and was a realtor for about 3 years. Most people say to me, Tim, what the hell were you thinking? It's a horrible time to get into real estate, but I think there's opportunity in every market. And in that market, you know, 2010 timeframe, there was a ton of people in foreclosure that needed to sell their houses for less than what they were worth. So I was doing a lot of short sale business, working with the banks to get them to approve those sales. Man, I did not like it. It was not a good fit for me. And after 3 years, I was like, man, I hate going to work every day. I need to shift gears. And so that's when I took a step back, kind of thought about what I really loved about when I was in distribution, where some of my skill sets were. And that's when I got involved in marketing, and that's what I'm doing today. And, you know, today we're working primarily with service-based businesses, you know, coaches, consultants, professional service providers, you know, some home service businesses, just helping them simplify marketing so they can grow with less stress. You know, we find a ton of people are just battling information overload when it comes to marketing. And we need to eliminate that if we're going to see success.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And I would agree with that. There's a lot of just confusion in the small business realm when it comes to implementing a good strategy, whether that's marketing focus, whether that's sales focus. In my personal opinion, I think you should have those focuses blend well together. So you kind of running a marketing agency, I'm gonna throw out a question to you that maybe you get asked about a lot. I know in the hardcore sales realm, I hear about this a lot. To you, should it be marketing versus sales or marketing and sales? I have my thoughts, but I'm curious to hear yours first, Tim.
I've never understood the marketing versus sales approach. I think they go hand in hand and they need to work together. If they're not working together, you're not going to generate as many customers as you should. The way I look at marketing is, and the way I define it, is it's marketing is getting someone who has a need or a problem you can solve to know, like, and trust you. That's it. So I view marketing's job to find those ideal clients, get in front of those ideal clients, get them to know, like, and trust you so that they're ready to raise their hand to say, hey, I'm interested. I have this problem. I know you can solve it. I want to learn more. And that then becomes a warm lead that's transitioned over to sales. If sales and marketing are not on the same page, you are going to have major problems.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there. And that's actually really refreshing to hear. I do think a lot of people, whether they do this intentionally or not, make it a marketing versus sales kind of battle, if you will. I've always said, hey, listen, we do marketing to increase our business, and to increase our business, we need more sales. So for me, I've always kind of seen marketing being the driving force of awareness, which you said you touched on the know, like, trust strategy. I love the fact that you brought that up. We've actually had, like, I think now 2 singled out episodes about that strategy. And then you use sales kind of like as the hammer to the nail. It's what closes the deal. And there's processes for both marketing and sales. You and I were talking before the show, and I find this interesting, and I'm glad you brought this up, talking about storytelling. And you said, James, at Rialto, we really just help businesses tell their story. I think that's an important factor to marketing, but I think it's an underrated aspect to the sales strategy. Give me your thoughts on storytelling when it comes to the marketing and sales cycle.
Yeah, so we... when we work on messaging for clients, we use a storytelling framework that was, from a marketing standpoint, it's been around for a long time. Most recently, it was popularized by a company called StoryBrand, if you're familiar with that.
Yep.
But when it was introduced to me, man, it just clicked and it made sense. And so we ran with it. And, you know, we've made a few modifications to it to work for us. But at its core, if you think about it, the vast majority of stories have the same elements. There is a character or a hero in the story. They have a problem that they do not know how to solve. They meet a guide who knows exactly what they need to do because the guide was in their shoes. And so the guide gives them a plan that calls them to action so they avoid failure and they reach success. So if we think about this from a, I'll just give you a real world example. One of my favorite movies is the original Point Break. Are you familiar with that, Keanu Reeves?
I am. Okay. Yep. Oh, yeah.
I may be dating myself or some of the younger folks that are listening to your podcast, but, you know, Keanu Reeves is a green FBI agent. The problem, there is a band of bank robbers called the ex-presidents robbing banks across Southern California. The guide is Gary Busey, who is his seasoned FBI partner. And the plan that he gives Keanu is, he says, look, I believe the ex-presidents are surfers. you need to learn how to surf so that you can befriend these people and infiltrate them. So the call to action is you need to learn how to surf so that we avoid failure, which is the ex-presidents ride off into the sunset, and reach success, which is we catch them. So how do we adapt this framework to a business? What we're doing is we take that same framework and we position your customers as the hero in the story and your company as the guide. Our customers are not looking for another hero. They're looking for a guide that can help them get from where they are to where they want to be. And so when we do this, you can use it not only from a sales perspective, from a marketing perspective, but within sales. And then that same messaging filters down throughout the company and even goes into customer service. People should be seeing and hearing the same message across your company. And I think that's where a lot of businesses make mistakes, is they may be saying one thing in a marketing message, and then when they get into a sales conversation, it's something totally different. To me, that should be the same message. It needs to be consistent no matter where they're coming in contact with you. And when you use this framework, it helps you eliminate two of the most common mistakes people make. One, they don't focus on what's going to help people survive and thrive, right? In sales, it's common to hear people talk about pain versus pleasure, right? That's why people buy, right? They buy to avoid pain or to gain pleasure. And our marketing message, our sales message, needs to focus on not how great we are, but what we can do for the client. That's all the client cares about, is what we can do for them. They don't care about us. And when you use this framework, it helps you avoid that. Your messaging focuses on the customer and not you. The second thing it does is it helps eliminate communicating this message that's not clear. There's so many people that make it difficult for prospects to understand what the hell they do. And if we confuse people, we lose them. So when you use this framework, it allows you to just clearly, succinctly, and consistently communicate the same message over time, whether it's from a marketing perspective or a sales perspective or customer service. You go back to this playbook each and every time. You're not reinventing what you're going to say. You know exactly what you're going to say. And depending on what the medium is or what you want to communicate, you go back to the playbook and you just pull bits and pieces from it to create your message.
I really like that. And I think that's, again, an understated thing in the sales world right now, is just consistency of message throughout the entire sales cycle. I spoke to this guy named the Sales Whisperer. Wes is his name. And he always talks about you have to sell at every part of the process. And what he means by that is always be selling. Like, you're selling the customer or your client on the experience, the introduction, the middle of the funnel phase, obviously the close. You want them to feel confident. You want them to feel good. Then you have to sell them on the onboarding experience, and then the customer satisfaction or the customer service experience. And I kind of bought into that. Like, you do have to sell someone at every phase of the process to make them actually feel great about their buy, their purchase, which is what we should always be trying to achieve as salespeople. We want our customers to feel good once they transact, and it has to be genuine. And then to your point, having that consistent message, a good pass off of messaging from one platform to the other, or one aspect of the process to the other, is so critical. And I don't think we put enough focus on that. I used to say brand is bullshit. And I ran a marketing agency for 5 years and then sold it and went strictly into sales. And even when I was running my marketing agency, I used to say, brand awareness is such bullshit. I used to hate that term. I used to think it was a cop out for marketers not to be responsible to measurable results. And I still believe that to be true, depending on the marketing company or professional. But I have learned now, if you niche up your approach and you have some sort of brand awareness and thought leadership and thought authority to your name, your sales cycle becomes way easier and less resistant. So brand is not bullshit when you actually have a message to be said and it's consistent across the board. And this is the first time in my life I've actually ever put emphasis on brand, which I ignored for so long, which was foolish of me. And I think to your point, messaging plays such a critical factor to that. So I think that's really well said, Tim.
No, I appreciate that, James. Yeah. I think your brand is how you want to be perceived in the market, and what you say and how you say it has a big impact on how you're going to be portrayed.
Absolutely. So talk to me about this. You're a marketing firm, a marketing agency. I'm not sure how you refer to your business. But at the end of the day, you're in marketing. There's a ton of marketing companies out there. How do you differentiate yourself from all the other SEO companies or PPC companies? How do you differentiate yourself?
Our main differentiator, our tip of the spear, I guess, what we lead with is focusing on the fundamentals first. I think there are so many people that skip the fundamentals because they're not cool, they're not sexy, it's the same old stuff. But so many people skip them. They want to get tactical immediately. So it's like, I need to generate leads. I got to have a website and I've got to have my YouTube channel, or I got to be on TikTok, whatever it is. There's no shortage of information about where you need to be from a marketing standpoint today. But if you skip the fundamentals, you put the cart before the horse, you waste time, you waste money, and it's either not going to work, or you're going to have to come back to them and get them in place and then move from there. So we like to focus on the fundamentals because they lay the foundation for you to build the rest of your house from. So you've got to know who your target market is. You have to know who you're going to serve and how you're going to serve those people. You have to have great messaging, which we just touched on, that's clear and engaging, that's going to attract that target market. And then you have to have a plan of how you're going to get that message in front of those people. If you don't have all three of those elements, your marketing is going to be a crapshoot. You're throwing spaghetti up against a wall, hoping that it sticks. And that's just no way to grow a successful business.
Yeah, I would agree. So my experience when I was running a marketing agency was like 9 out of 10 of our clients had a bad experience with a former agency because it's like the Wild West. So how do you kind of, from a sales standpoint, how do you fight that reservation? Because I know you've been in business long enough to where you've worked with a client that's had a bad experience with a former company, right? Yeah. So how do you fight through that attrition, and what's your sales process look like?
It's really, to me, that's really a matter of digging a little bit deeper into what about that experience was bad. Where did it break down? And if we can hone in on where it broke down, I can then address that and communicate to the prospect how that's not going to happen when they work with us, and set the proper expectations so that they understand what it's like to work with us. I mean, sometimes, James, there's people that we don't work with because I just don't feel like they have realistic expectations. Their view of marketing is not in line with ours. And yeah, I just know long-term that's not going to be a good client for us. So, when I talk to a prospect, I'm interviewing them just as much as they're interviewing me.
Amen. Amen. I tell prospects that in our discovery calls. I say, listen, this is an introductory call. I'm not here to pitch you. Obviously, we're both here to learn about each other and to get more information on each other. But I've just been in the game long enough to know I want to work with people I want to work with. I want to work with people I like, and I want to work with people I believe I can win for. And that's not everybody across the board. And if we get on a discovery call, that let's say it's a pre-sales meeting, and it's not going to be a good working relationship, doesn't mean that we can't have a good professional relationship. It just means that, hey, I'm not going to waste my time and I'm not going to waste your money trying to fit a square peg through a round hole, right? Yeah. Because it's oil and water. So I love the fact that you said, I'm almost interviewing the prospect as much as they're interviewing me. And I guess, did you just learn that through trial and error? Or how'd you figure this out?
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's definitely trial and error. And, you know, I think we all make mistakes where we work with people that we probably shouldn't have. And we knew going in that we probably shouldn't have, but we did it anyways. And when you bang your head up against a wall enough times, you finally say, you know what, I gotta change this, and here's how I can change this and make this better. You know, I don't know, right or wrong, my approach to sales has always been one more of coming from a place of value. I'm gonna try and help whoever I'm talking to as much as I possibly can. I'm gonna let them know how we work and how I believe we can help them solve the problem that they have. But I've never felt like I can force people to do anything, you know? And when I really did try to push, those clients weren't great clients because they weren't committed. You know, I think no matter what we do, our clients have to be at a certain level of, you know, my wife's a nurse, and they call, in healthcare, they call it like readiness to change. You know, if your readiness to change to, you know, stop smoking is at a 4, nothing that they say is ever going to make that different. If I have a marketing conversation with somebody and they have this problem that they're telling me about, and that problem just hasn't reached the level where their readiness to change is like an 8 or above, they're not going to be committed. They're not going to jump in. So I can't change that. That pain has to be great enough where they're like, oh my God, Tim, this has to stop. How do I solve that problem, and how can you help me? That's going to be an easy sale for me, but sometimes the conversations I have, they're not ready, and that's okay. I'll just add as much value as I can. I'll give them some resources and just say, hey, if things change or when you reach this point, I know we can help you, and we're happy to do that. And yeah, that's it. And then we just nurture those people. I'll continue to, you know, they'll be on our email list. We'll stay in front of them. We do a lot of things to help educate and serve people. And when the problem is great enough and they're ready to change, they'll reach out.
Yeah, I think that's I similar thought process here, and we're in agreement. We call it being a resource with no strings attached.
Yeah.
Literally we put that in our sales messaging. Hey, if you ever need any information when it comes to B2B outbound sales, let us be a resource for you. Zero strings attached, but then you have to honor that promise.
Yeah.
So then if, you know, you do get the one-off email that's asking for information or maybe even some free consultation that you can be of value to, you got to honor it because you promised it. Really like, I like your thought process and philosophy here, Tim. I think it's spot on, and frankly, it's refreshing to hear from someone that runs a marketing company, because it's like the Wild West in the marketing world when it comes to agencies and all of that. We're about short on time here. I always like to, this is my favorite section of the, or I should say segment of the show. I always like to end our show with, if you were to give advice to a young entrepreneur, and young does not mean age. It can mean just starting out. What would your advice be to that person? If it was just one piece of advice,
I would say, commit, be consistent, and think long-term. I think too many people get into the entrepreneurial game thinking short-term, and it's a marathon, not a sprint. And just by showing up consistently, I think you separate yourself from at least half of the people out there. So just commit, think long-term, and follow it.
Yeah, I like that. This question rocked me. I got asked this by one of my mentors 2 weeks ago. Are you interested or are you committed? And you know what? I like going to the gym. I like saying that I'm healthy. I like feeling good, but am I interested in getting healthy, or am I committed? Do I really want to grow my business? okay, do you? Are you interested in growing your business? Or are you committed? The results will speak for itself. So I think that's really insightful advice there. Just commit and be consistent and think long-term. Hey, Tim, where can any of our listeners find you if they want to connect with you? Maybe they need some marketing help. Where can they connect with you after the show?
Thank you, James. I appreciate that. The best place is to go to our website, rialtomarketing.com. All our information's there. We did put together some special resources that kind of will help your listeners with those fundamentals. So if they go to rialtomarketing.com/2-sense-worth, there's free resources there. They don't even have to opt in to help them get those fundamentals in place. If they're running into roadblocks, they need outside eyes, just click the get a free consultation button. It's all over our website, and I'll be happy to chat and help them get some clarity on where to focus their efforts right now.
Awesome. And we'll definitely link these in the show notes. So we'll be sure to put any resources or links Tim sends our way. We always like to link Tim's LinkedIn profile so you can connect with him there. Tim, really appreciate you coming on the B2B Sales and Entrepreneurship 2 Cents Worth podcast. Would love to have you back. I think it's awesome that you are doing marketing the right way. You're running things the right way. You're also a local Coloradan, so that always helps the cause too. And thank you, sir. I look forward to speaking with you again.
Thanks so much, James. I really appreciate it.